You'd think that God knew what I was preaching on this morning. With the direction of each of the songs, direction of this service this morning. I wasn't going to go this direction all week long. I was preparing for another direction. I felt very clear last night that I was not to. Actually, I thought that I was going with this last Sunday. I was going to go with this Sunday. But then all week I prepared otherwise. I should have been listening better. And he just reaffirms, because he did know what was needed this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, writes these words: God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Or if you're holding the King James, it says, may abound to every good work. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance. Do you ever think about the possibility of a life in which you would never be in need? Ever. In need of anything. At any time. From anyone. A life that knows no fear or fluster. No anxiety or angst. No perturbing incidents or circumstances of any sort. Do you ever think about the possibility of doing life in such a way that you would be able to exude peace, patience, and the freedom from self-absorption? Freedom from self-absorption that is the hallmark of truly an unworried, an unconcerned, and a carefree person. Now, not carefree without care for others, but a freedom from any personal threat. Sounds intriguing. Have you ever thought about that? I'm sure that it's in some way it has crossed your mind. And so many people sacrifice so much in order to achieve that kind of an existence. They sacrifice time. They sacrifice money. They sacrifice relationships to achieve some measure of that kind of a life. So many people are self-absorbed. There is little or no outflow. It's all inwardly focused. Maybe it's because of the intensity of their lives and their particular situation. Your particular situation is all-consuming. It has you wrapped up within yourself, focusing, trying to get yourself into some measure of a peaceful situation or stress-free environment. Or in some way, some measure of comfort. Some great effort and energy and enthusiasm is given to reach the goal of self-sufficiency. The Apostle Paul, gives some anointed insight for the situation, and it's found in one word. Did you hear what I said? The Apostle Paul has provided some anointed insight. We talk about the preacher. We pray for the preacher that he would be able to preach under the anointing. Well, let's not get it mixed up here. That is what we need. That is what we desire, for the preacher to be able to preach under the anointing. But when I say the Apostle Paul said under the anointing, I'm meaning the ultimate anointing of the Holy Spirit, that he was literally penning words from the Holy Spirit that we now call the Word of God, the Bible. He penned anointed insight that can be found in one word: contentment. Contentment. Now Paul, he writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now let's take a look briefly at Paul. Briefly. There's a whole lot of things that we could look at, but let's just look briefly at Paul as he is standing on a ship, standing on the deck of a sinking ship. He's a prisoner, no less, and he's telling the captive audience about his God and the message from his God. Or he's standing before Agrippa, standing before a man, a king, who could snuff out his life just with speaking the words. Or we can think about the Apostle Paul as he is bound by shackles, but he's singing some song of praise. And then we read and hear his words where he said, I have learned. Did you learn anything? How long did it take you to learn some of your lessons? Some things that may have come your way, some problems that may have happened, some tragedies that you may have experienced. You have asked God, help me to learn my lesson well so I don't have to go through this again. I've been there, done that. Please, let me learn what I'm supposed to learn in this because I don't want to do this again. I have learned, he said, that whatever state I'm in, he wasn't talking about Indiana or Kentucky or Michigan. He's talking about the condition of his circumstances. Whatever condition I'm in, whatever my circumstances are, there with to be content. That's a hard lesson to learn. We can find in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, that he's also talking about this very subject to Timothy. Apparently it was an important subject. It was something that he felt necessary to pass on to Timothy. And he's telling Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now if he would have stopped there, that would probably be an easy thing for us to wipe out and say, justify or work around or get around it some way. But he goes on in the 7th verse to give us a little bit of an insight what he means by this kind of contentment. He said, for we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. What am I working for? I have learned to be content. The Amplified said, to be satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. Now, you may not think that the Amplified is the anointed translation, and you might not think because of that kind of a statement, kind of puts it right into our living room. Zeroes it right into where we are when he said that. Satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted. Now, let me jump over here out of my notes and go back to a song that we sang in Sunday school preliminaries. The sun is always shining, or the sky is always bright. I'm living on the mountain. The only way that songwriter could pen those words is that they had found this kind of contentment. That's the only way. You know, I didn't always like King of Israel, who learned through the wealth of experience with sheep and a myriad of experiences in his own personal life, that he was able to write with confidence the words of my text this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How? If we were to take the time this morning, and I know that the clock is quickly moving on, and I don't really want to hold you very long with it anyway. I want you to think about it yourself. But if you think about David and all of the trouble that he experienced, and all the problems that he experienced, all the stress that he experienced, the losses that he experienced. But with confidence, because of his experience with sheep and because of the myriad of experiences of his own life, he was able to pen the words of confidence, "The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." W.T. Perkeiser said it this way: "Here is the assurance of help in the hardest of all of life's hard places." That almost sounds mundane. Let me repeat it again so you can get a hold of it, though. Here is the assurance of help in the hardest of all life's hard places. Dallas Willard said it this way: "The Lord is my shepherd." In other words, I am in the care of someone else. I'm not the one in charge. I've taken my kingdom and surrendered it to the kingdom of God. I am living the with God life. The Lord is my shepherd. If you care to follow along, you can turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. I don't know what page it's on in your Bible. You may have a little bit of difficulty finding it. It's tucked in there somewhere in the Old Testament. Habakkuk had just seen firsthand his beloved country was devastated by war. Trouble abounded around him. Could it be that our resistance to a full surrender to him is due to our fear that God might allow desolation or desolate circumstances to come into our lives? Listen to the words of Habakkuk as he views the devastation that is around him, that is surrounding him. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 16. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Sounds like a bad situation, doesn't it? Hardship, darkness. Verse number 18, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. The Lord is my shepherd. We may not get too much out of that phrase unless we understand the nature of the shepherd. The nature of the shepherd, he is glorious. He is beyond our imagination when it comes to glorious. We can take the life or the scene that Isaiah gives us in the book of Isaiah, where he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And in that vision of God, he recognized how glorious he was in holiness. And it caused him, the prophet of God, to step back and say, oh, in the midst of this people that I dwell, I live in sinful places, and my own lips need to be touched. He's not only glorious, but he's eternal. He's all sufficient. He's the omnipotent creator of the universe. His greatness surpasses anything that we can imagine. He's unlimited in resources. Did you hear that? He's unlimited in resources, just as he is unlimited in love. He is the good shepherd who generously provides for our very need. Contentment. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. It is not my life to be lived, but it is to his life to be lived through me, and I can trust in his faithfulness. I can trust in his heart. Can I give you some homework this morning? Go home and read it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise God. We can trust in him. We can rely on him. He is faithful and just. He is true. He will be our shepherd. Praise God. Thank you for your attention, attendance this morning.
trust the Lord will bless you on this Lord's Day. Praise His name. Praise His name. Dr. Matlock, would you dismiss us in prayer?